Wow, right? Good morning, church family. I can assure you that this year it did get loud there. The sound system was like way louder than the years prior. You would have thought that Randy Johnson and Brent DeVee hooked that thing up, man. It was like my nose is still tickling thinking about it. There were some stomach issues with the kids, too, that might have been the bass. That's what that could have been. So this year, there were over 1,700 people on the mountain, and it was quite the gathering. My favorite thing about the video that we just saw was there was a lot of emphasis on how hard these kids worked while they were there at NYR this year. And all of them were very respectful, very hardworking, and they all had good attitudes from the beginning to the end. And I am very confident that they brought much pleasure in the sight of the Lord this year. So I commend all of you kids. Thank you very much for all your hard work and your good attitudes this year. Yes, yes, praise God. So this NYR is basically just like a big family vacation for our group. And like most family vacations, there's a lot of work that goes into prior that can determine how pleasurable or how unpleasurable that experience can be. And so it's not just like, you know, the months leading up to the registration and the packing and the planning and all those things. It's also all the work that happens in that youth room throughout the year that has a big factor on how well this trip goes. And if we go even deeper than that, you know, all the way from the nursery up to God Squad, there have been so many people that have shaped and molded these kids for them to be so fruitful. And I also would like to praise God for everyone who has been and who is still such a big part of the fruitfulness of these youth. Also, thank you for everyone who has been tithing faithfully so that our church can be blessed enough to be able to send groups on trips like these, and also just to be able to carry out some of the other ministries that are going on throughout the year. And more than anything, thank you for all of your steadfast prayers before, during, and after this trip. Those are huge. So if I were to use one word to describe NYR, the experience would be bittersweet. And I use that word because it is such a physically and mentally challenging experience, but it is so spiritually rejuvenating. So the first day is usually the toughest day for us. We get to the mountain after a 14-hour haul, and the mountain is mostly desolate, and then we have the challenge of setting up a small village before dark so that we can kind of relax and get settled in for the night. And this year, we just got in our shelter up, and a big rain settled in on us. So we got our big shelter up, and everybody's standing around, and everybody's exhausted, and we're just surrounded by this big pile of mess of our own personal belongings that we haven't been able to set up yet. And there was this look on about five or six girls in a row on their faces. And I saw them, and I just couldn't help myself. I looked at them, and I said, man, it looks like some of you may have been regretting your most recent life's decisions. And they were not very enthused about that comment. But as the week progressed, things slowly came together, as they always do. God gives us everything that we need on this trip. So NYR has a way of humbling people. You know, it's like whenever you go to the mountain, I can hear God speaking to me and everyone around me. That tough love that says, you know, I don't care how nice your car is. I don't care how nice your house is back at home. I don't care how much money you make or how much money your parents make. I don't care how prestigious you perceive yourself to be when you're surrounded by all your creature comforts back at home. When you're here, you will hike that mountain, and you will sleep in that tent, and you will eat dust all week long. And you will make physical contact with those porta potties one way or another before the week is over. and you will make eye contact and smile and wave at people and greet them as they're awkwardly waiting on you to come in behind you. So it's a very humbling experience, and it is a very unique opportunity for God to use to break down the walls, all the social and cultural walls that we have built among ourselves. And those walls that caused so much division between ourselves in this world that we live in today, he's able to break some of those things down. And it's a really amazing thing. And there are so many questions and so many perceptions that this younger generation have to contemplate while they're experiencing this pilgrimage here on earth. So at NYR, God has a way of moving those distractions aside, and it allows those kids to focus on the one big question, the most important question that anyone could ever be asked in their life, and that question is, do you know how much Jesus loves you? And it's not just for the kids, but it's for the adults and the leaders as well. It's a great experience to be able to move all that stuff aside and really focus on the love of Christ. My personal favorite thing to do while I'm at NYR is connect with people, because most of you know me, and I'll talk to a rock, right? And so I love the time that we have to be able to set aside to really connect with each one of these kids individually. We don't get that opportunity a lot because, you know, life is just so crazy. And I also like to connect with some of the brothers that I've met up there. I've established some really good relationships with over the past 4 years of that ministry. So for me, it's like Acts chapter 2, whenever the Holy Spirit comes upon the people and moves through them like a mighty rushing wind, and everyone has everything in common, and no one is lacking in anything. It's a really awesome experience. And so, like, whenever you're in a shower house and there's 20 to 30 guys and they're all singing Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire together in unison, It is a great testimony of how the Spirit can move through the brothers in Christ. That was fun. And I will tell you that the Lord did add to our number day by day those who were being saved while we were up there throughout that week. There were 110 kids that got baptized while we were up there. So praise God for that. But I want to emphasize that there's nothing special about that mountain in Sedalia, Colorado. It is the people, and it is the Spirit of God within us when we go that makes that experience such a moving experience. And without the Holy Spirit of God, that mountain would just be a dead pile of rocks and dirt with a bunch of trees growing on it. And that same Spirit moves through us. It's moving through us right now, and it moves through us every Sunday and Wednesday, so we can have those same experiences while we're here gathering together in the name of the Lord. So there's a saying that always buzzes around the mountain on the last day, and that saying is, I guess it's back to reality. And there's just a lot of people that feel that way. And God really spoke to me this year about those thoughts and those feelings, and so that is just as much of a reality. It's more of a reality, in my opinion, than the interactions that we have with the world, but unfortunately, they're just not as prevalent. So I encourage everybody to continue to gather together in the name of the Lord. That's the closest we're going to get to God this side of heaven, and that is a greater reality and a hope that we have to look forward to. And I feel led this year also I usually share some personal experiences with God while I'm on the mountain. And I feel like God has led me this year to share experiences after that experience, after that encounter, for our youth especially, and just for everyone in general. We can come in church and get these highs on Sunday. We can go to a mountaintop and get those highs. And I know that after big experiences like that, there's always that crash, that low that comes after. And that's when weird things start to happen. I start to feel uncomfortable and insecure, and like I'm I'm not happy like I should be, and there's some depression that sets in. And the flesh just wants to go have another experience immediately and just wants that next high. But it ends up usually settling for like ice cream and YouTube until I get the next experience, right? Amen, huh? And then, you know, so the devil, he always comes in and he starts to tell me those lies about how I should feel happy and I should feel content all the time and how I'm a spoiled, selfish jerk because, you know, I'm not just always happy and fulfilled. And it's in those lows that God usually comes in and he reminds me that I'm not home yet, right? We're not home yet. And so, youth, we are not home yet, okay? You're going to have lows in your lives, and you're going to experience voids. And the reason for that is because we are not in the full presence of our Heavenly Father who created us yet, okay? That's where that comes from. So don't let the enemy come in and lie to you, okay? And don't fall for the flesh. Don't settle for these little pacifying things that so many people fall for in this world today. So I shared some scripture with the youth before we left out of Colossians. Just some good order of conduct. And I'm going to share with this church body and with our youth this morning some more out of Colossians. And this is just kind of instruction for us until we reach the other side. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So there's a part of us right now that has already won with Jesus, with Christ. We are hidden in Christ. And it's going to be a beautiful thing whenever we get to get home with him or whenever he comes back and we have a new heaven and a new earth. We are all helpless, but we are not hopeless. Praise God. Thank you. Lana Blue is up next.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lana Blue. This was my first year going to NYR and being a Victory member. NYR was really a time for me to bond and make new friendships with amazing people. But it not only allowed me to do that, it allowed me to rekindle my relationship with the Lord. When I came home, I was excited to rededicate my life and time for God. I was truly blessed to be able to go to NYR, and I'm excited for next year already. NYR to me is a place for, It's a place to me to make new friendships and to be with God, even if you don't know him. On that mountain, God does amazing things. He reaches people who need him, and he changes them. I know this is about my experience, but God reached 4 amazing people here today. And that, to me, was the most special thing that I've witnessed. It was all truly beautiful how God can change lives in just a week. God has been working on me and my heart in that week. I learned that words do stick with people. Beth DeFazio was our teacher, the girls' teacher of our class, and she said that sticks and stones will break my bones, but bones will heal. Words will always stick, which is pretty much what James talks about. I didn't quote any scripture because I forgot about it, but if you go and read James, it does talk about it. It really spoke to me because I'm sure I'm not the only person here who has said some things that aren't very kind. And so I feel like God really was speaking to me and telling me that apologies do work and that I should go and I should apologize to everything that I can remember. I've learned, and God has reminded me that, of course, apologies do matter, and I can't count on how many hands I've on how much hands I've, or I can't count on my hands on how much I've learned. So it was really hard to put all of that into one paper. It was just because I learned so much about the youth and about everybody that I was with and about God. And to the church, I want to say thank you for allowing me to do that. And singing the songs up here today, it really brought me back to NYR and knowing that I finally found the church family that I've been looking for. And I found true friendships, and I want to thank you guys for that. It was really amazing, and I'm so excited to spend that with you again next year, spend that time with you again next year. And I was very blessed to have experienced it with all of you. So thank you. My speech was very short, but thank you.
At NYR, I've had a fair share of laughs from Preston running around and eating more dirt this year than ever. Me quite literally falling off a mountain. Me falling somehow up the mountain as well. Trevor being Trevor. Having dinner with Arthur Morgan and the band. There's a lot of good times. The biggest thing, however, I picked up from NYR was probably for the men. You're born a male, but you become a man. And that just doesn't apply to life. That applies to your spiritual life as well. You are born a male, but you can become a man of God, is what I learned. And I guess that just never really clicked. But I guess now I see that, like, Pastor was born a male, but he became a man of God. Tony was born a male, but he became a man of God. Michael was born a male, he became a man of God. And another thing that just never really fully clicked, you could say, was that God just doesn't leave you. God's just not there on that mountain. He's not just in the church. God's everywhere. He's always with you, which just never really clicked, I guess. It was just hard to think that this idea of a spirit, this God, was always with me, that he wasn't just in one place. But he is. He's everywhere. And my part's probably going to be the shortest because I quite literally wrote this while we were back there having our meeting. And with that, I'll close my part and welcome up Jennifer with I'll be seeing you, I hope.
Well, thank you guys again for having us, giving us the ability to go. That was pretty awesome, even though I hate camping. Crystal may love it, but I don't like it very much. I don't like sleeping on a cot. It's no fun, unless you're Crystal. So some of the things that I got out of NYR, first of all, it was awesome to see, Michael had alluded to it, about the youth coming together on Sunday when everybody's tired and exhausted. Try sleeping in a van next to a bunch of smelly people. It's not easy. Or the one that's driving and have to stay awake. But they came together and they got this stuff together. Like, I swear it was like an hour and a half, 2 hours. They were so good and efficient. They were like, what can I do to help? What can I do to add? If they were sitting and we said, hey, can you do this? They hopped right up and did it. They didn't complain. They didn't moan and groan. It was pretty impressive. I was very happy with that. It was pretty cool. And as Noah talked about, I told him I was going to share this. We called him Mr. Falls a lot because he fell so many times. So his first, was it your first fall? Okay. So his first fall was in our tent. He was laying on a cot and there's like a deep, it's like a cliff. It's like 4 feet. Huh? Our tent. So he was laying on a cot here and he was getting ready to turn. He turned over and this cot fell down. He fell with it. In our tent, or on our tent, and almost smashed our heads. It was pretty interesting. We're like, what was that? And he comes up, he's like, I fell. I'm okay. But the Lord really watched over him for falling so much because he could have really hurt himself. I don't know. Accident prone, something. Well, part of the things that we learned about this week was the elements, as they talked about earlier. Crystal shared those. And they used James as the base for the whole entire week. And so we went to this leadership class, and we learned about James. And it was pretty impressive. I enjoyed it. I love James. It's one of my favorite books. And part of the things we learned about was trials, of course. The first one, James, he talks about trials. Count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations. It's hard to go through trials and tribulations, isn't it? Being on a mountain in a bunch of dirt is trial for me. I don't enjoy it very much, but I love being with this youth group. I enjoy it so much. It makes me so happy to see that they get along so well. They enjoy each other's company, and they're willing to do what you need to do. It's pretty awesome. So it was a good trial. One of the other things that I thought about is James 1, 2 through 4. I'm going to read that real quick. I meant to have it ready. Sorry. Sometimes I like to read through the Bible rather than just writing it down. So consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. And just like Noah said, he's a male, but he wants to be a man. So we're going to mature as we go through these trials. When we were on that mountain, it's interesting that, I don't know if you saw the view. That view was Liam's drone. That was pretty cool. He went up like 1,000 feet in the air to show that picture. That was pretty awesome. But that is like a valley in the mountain. It was really cool because you can see the mountains, but you're in a valley. So there's times when you're going to be in a valley, but you can see the mountain ahead, and you know they're going to get to the top. It may be tough, but God's going to be there with you. The second day that we talked about was words. This was very convicting for me because sometimes I don't always know how to keep my mouth shut when I should, as we all have issues with that, don't we? So words, wise words, watch what you're saying. One of the verses that he used, I'm not going to go through James because we've done that so many times, but this one stuck with me, and I actually want to print it out and write it somewhere or everywhere. Psalm 14:3, set a guard over my mouth. Lord, help me watch my mouth. Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. How convicting is that if you were to see that every day, to watch your mouth, to be careful what you say, be careful how you act, be careful because you know who's watching. When you're standing there in a bunch of with the youth, how is my attitude? What am I showing them? What am I saying to them? What kind of words and actions am I doing to them? So that was a good conviction for me to continue to watch my words and how I act around the youth and anybody, all the people that you're around outside of this church. It's very important to watch those words and your attitude. And then, of course, being slow to speak. On Wednesday, he talked about quarrels. How many of us fight and quarrel? Does anybody fight? Oh, you're all liars if you're not raising your hand. You all fight. We all fight. We all fight. We all complain. We all get frustrated with other people. Life would be good without people, right? But God gives us people because we need them. We need to be sharpened. We need to be challenged. We need to be accountable to someone else. And that's why we have people here. So why do we fight among ourselves? Why do we quarrel? Because we have selfish ambition. Because we're always thinking about ourselves. This youth group, they did not think about themselves. I tell you what, I would spend a year with these youth group in a mountain if I had to, instead of dealing with some people that are so immature. They may be 30, 40, 50 years old, but they're like they're 10 years old and they can't do anything by themselves without complaining. So I'm very thankful for youth group. You guys did a great job. Sorry. Woo, I always forget how hard it is to read up here. All right, another thing is when you have quarrels and fights, there's a vision. And when division happens, isolation happens. When isolation happens, then all of a sudden, you have the devil speaking to you saying, you're doing good being by yourself. Isn't this a good thing? Even though you're getting worse and worse, you're getting depressed, you stop reading your word, you stop going to church, you stop praying. That division will kill someone. The depression alone could kill someone. It is so important to be with somebody and to help, to be together and to come here, to come into the small groups, to come on Wednesday nights. Those type of things help us keep a balance of what Christ has done for us and how we can lead a godly life, and then the support that we can have. James 3:18 says, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. This is what we want. This is what we desire, is to reap righteousness because we're sowing in peace. We should be a peaceful people, even in the midst of a storm. No matter what storms we're going through, whatever trials we're going through, there's still a peace because we have Jesus Christ in our hearts. He is the Lord of all, and he can give us that peace even in the midst of trials, whatever issues we're going through. The last day was endurance. By Tuesday, I was enduring. I was so ready to go home and go take a nice shower and be in my nice bed, but I endured because they are important to me. Even though I love going up there because I get fed, I'm able to feed them, I'm able to just enjoy company with all of them, it is hard. It is an endurance. It's a race that I have to run, but I love doing it. It's like a love-hate relationship here. But anyway, I endured, and I loved it. So here we are. We're going to endure. And one of the things that the speaker said was to be intentional. So I'm going to be intentional to endure and to love and to be there for these youth and for Michael and Crystal and Tony and Aaron. I am there for them because that's what I want to be. I want to be a servant of Christ, so I'm going to endure the hardships of it. And one of the other things he said is that steadfast, like the prophets of Job, like Job, he had a difficult life. He suffered a lot, and he was steadfast. He stayed with the Lord, and he endured so much more than I ever will go through. James 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So we love Christ, and we're going to persevere, and we're going to make it. And being on that mountain, even though, like it's like Michael said, it's a high, and then you go down to a low, like, it is such an awesome feeling when you get home and you say, you know, the Lord touched me. He brought me through this, and I can share it with others, and I can be there for others. And enjoying the company of all of these youth. One thing that I really enjoyed was being able to pray with my nieces and my nephew. It was pretty awesome. All of them came to me and asked me to pray for them, which was pretty cool. Sorry. It was a blessing because they just moved here not too long ago. And I've gotten to know them being part of the youth group, and what a blessing it has been for Abby to come to me and say, will you pray with me? For Hannah Case to come, not my Hannah, the other Hannah. We have two Hannahs in our family. She came and she's like, will you pray for me? And Caden came up to me and he says, can I talk to you? And I'm having this struggle. And then I said, I'm going to pray for you and you're going to be okay. And then my other niece, Whitney, who's on my side, asked me to pray for her. Just those things. And then to see the baptisms. We had 4 baptisms from our church alone. I was so happy. Like, you saw that up there. What an awesome blessing that is to see them. Yes. Amen. We did ask their parents first, by the way. And just so you know, it's pretty funny. They got to this phone. It's an old, and it's corded phone. That's all I have up there. And they picked up the phone, and they're like, what do I do? I was like, you listen for the dial tone. They're like, what? And I put it up, and they're like, what do I do? And they're trying to dial. And I'm like, no, you got to hit the 1 first. And they had no clue how to use this phone. It was hilarious. And they're like, it's not ringing. I'm like, did you see the dial tone? Hear the dial tone. No, it was like, it was fun. It was interesting. Anyway, that was pretty funny. But this line that they wait for the phone is ridiculous, and then they don't even know how to use it. Anyway, I really enjoyed my time with the youth group, and I am very thankful that you guys allowed us to go and that they could be blessed for that. And what a blessing it is to be able to fill them up so they can go out, because they are the next generation. Now we have Abby Case.
Good morning. My name is Abby. Okay, so first I want to thank the church for helping pay for everything, and thank the youth leaders for driving there, cooking, and everything else they did for us. You guys are amazing. This was my first year at MIR, and at first I wasn't going to go because I'm not a fan of camping. But I changed my mind and went, and by the end, I loved it. It's kind of like somewhere you could go to get away from the reality of the world and get closer to God. We went to some cool places like the river, a hiking trail, and an outlet mall, and got Chick-fil-A and ice cream all in Castle Rock. The speakers were amazing, the band was incredible, and the teachers for the classes were great, even if I went deaf. Monday, there was a story about this girl, Colleen, who got pregnant, and then she went to church and made a couple of friends. And I don't know why, but that was really touching for me, and I started crying. Then my Aunt Jen, / the pastor's wife, prayed over me, and I got saved that night. Wednesday night, my cousin came up to me, and she was like, "I'm getting baptized. Do you want to?" And at first, I was like, "No," because I was going to have my uncle, the pastor, do it. And there's this scripture, Acts 22:16. "And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." So I called my parents, and after 30 minutes, they finally answered. And I got baptized that night. Thank you, Tony. On Thursday, the theme was air, because the theme for the year was elements. And the speaker said something like, "God's always with you. When you get off this mountain, he's still going to be with you." And since then, I started making an effort, and I've prayed and read the Bible every day since. My favorite part was probably during worship, whenever everyone would go up front and start screaming the songs and jumping. Also, there was a day where Spider-Man showed up, so that was swaggy. So if next year would be your first year going to NYR, even if you're not a camper, I highly recommend going because it's truly a wonderful place. And next we have Silas/Buddy.
Good morning, guys. So first I'd like to start off by thanking you guys. We cannot do this trip without your guys' prayers and the funds, the church funds. And second, I want to thank the leaders for all they sacrifice to allow us youth to experience this. Let's just give them a hand. So some of you may be wondering, why does he look like that? So no, I didn't put on any weight, Lee Bell. So I got my wisdom teeth taken out Friday, and I was like, man, I'm going to be all swollen up. I don't want to stand in front of the whole church looking like this. I look like my dad. Like, but then God spoke to me, and he said, Silas, Tony gets up there every year looking how he does. I think you can do it one year. So I said, okay, you win. But in all seriousness, I spent a good probably hour writing out what I was going to say. And then last night, I mean, I was up in the middle of the night, you know, couldn't sleep. And God just laid on my heart, you know, I should talk about something else. I have about 5 words written down, so hopefully it goes well. So I've been to NYR for 4 years. This is my 4th year. The first year I went, I wasn't actually in youth yet. I think I was about 12 years old in 2015. So I wasn't a part of any of the classes, so I spent a lot of time, you know, with my parents walking around the camp, doing whatever. And in the back of the valley, there's this bench that when you sit down on the bench, you can see the whole valley plus the view in the back. So just to describe this view, there's so it's the valley that goes up, and there's a mountain, and it's just covered with trees, and then the blue sky right behind it. And many times you see elk or whatever walking back there, and it's beautiful. But the first year I was there, I was on that bench with my dad, actually, and we were sitting there just looking, and as we look at the distance, he says, "When you look at this, what crosses your mind?" What do you think about when you see this view? And for whatever reason, that stuck with me. And I think it took 4 years to realize what I saw. So you look at this creation, and all you can see is God. That's all you see. But with this beauty and God's creation, like Mike said, there's nothing special about this mountain. There's nothing extraordinary besides it is beautiful. The most beautiful thing that I've seen there is your kids and other people's kids falling to their knees and surrendering themselves to God. That's the most beautiful thing you see there. So I'd like to, it was short, but that's what I felt like I was supposed to share. And lastly, I'd like to end with a verse that's going to help me along, and I think I should, you youth need to hear it. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Do not let anyone think less of you because you were young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. I take this verse to heart because sometimes it's easy to just think of yourself as a kid, you know, but we have potential. We have the authority that Jesus has given us. No matter what age, you can be a man of God, men, and girls, you can be women of God. So take this verse to heart and don't forget it. I don't know who's next, so come up.
Hey, everyone. Okay, so this is my third year going to NYR. So first off, I just want to start by thanking the church and all their support and their donations. It is a big blessing. And I want to thank the youth leaders for all their hard work and their commitment to us and just loving on us. And I'm just so thankful for that. And I'm going to start off by... this trip is probably my highlight of the summer. It's just a great time to unplug from the world and all the distractions, and you get to lean in and focus on God and nothing else. And this has been the best year at NYR for me. I got to get to know my youth group better and build better relationship with them. And I got to grow closer to my friend Lana Blue. She's just been a blessing in my life. I also got to experience God in ways I hadn't before. And on that mountain, God has softened my heart and helped me and I've learned how to be vulnerable with God and other people. And sometimes it's hard to be vulnerable because sometimes it's hard to open up, and God just softened my heart. So all the speakers were very good this week. Each speaker talked about a certain element and spoke on that each day. So one of the elements I'm going to talk about is fire. So he talked about your purpose and identity in Christ. And I'm going to quote Genesis 1:1. So God created the heavens and the earth. And just right there, God, he created all of us, and he created us for a purpose. He created us for a reason. And our purpose in life is he said that we were created to worship God and enjoy life with him. So we were created to worship our creator, the God who gave us everything and who has been so good to us. And even though this life is hard, those hard times and those trials that we go through, those can refine us and teach us. And through those hard times, we can be refined and sharpened. And he uses that wilderness to refine us and sharpen us for what he has in store for us. And it makes us better than we thought we would ever be. And this refining creates character, humility, and perseverance through our hard times we go through. And also, God, he understands what pain and suffering we go through, all the hard times and things and those uncomfortable situations, because he went through it himself. He came down from earth to walk the earth, and he went through that himself too. I'm going to read James 1:2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Thank you for your time and listening to me. And next up, we have Trevor Wright.
Give me a second. So in my experience of NYR, I learned two things from the first NYR. One, about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And number two, where the Himalayas are actually located. apparently, I need to take a new lesson on geography because I did not know where the Himalayas were located. But the first NYR, I'm going to talk about both real quick because they go hand in hand. First NYR I went to, I was brand new to Christianity, and I learned a lot. And I had met so many people. And also, I would like to thank all the youth leaders and all the people here for paying and allowing us to go, because it is absolutely amazing. The experience is unlike anything you could have, especially with all of my friends and this new family and people I have made. It was an absolutely amazing experience, and it really clicks with you when you go through it and finally connect to God in that way. Sorry, I am not feeling good today. But when I went to NYR, I had never seen so many people with my beliefs and opinions in one place, and it was amazing. Most of the time, especially now, especially in these days, I couldn't speak of my beliefs publicly, or I would be ostracized, because I'd be ostracized or put aside or called wrong or stupid. But at NYR, it was completely different. There was so much to do. We climbed mountains. We jumped into rivers. We went to Chick-fil-A. We went to ice cream. That was a bad idea. And we did a lot. It was fun. But I think the biggest thing that I learned, especially from my first year of NYR, I remember his name is Drake, one of the speakers, and he was our class leader for NYR this year. And he spoke something that I think last year that really hit me, but it only hit me this year, strangely. It took a year for it to really click. And he said, "Some men will come from this mountain, and they will go back to the way that they were. They will sin." Like several others have already said, God is with you all the way. It just depends on if you want to be with God. Because God is always with you. But if you are not with God, then he, you know, it won't be the same. And that is something that I think I learned throughout my 2 years of NYR. From John 1, chapter 1, verse 8 through 9, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us for our sins. Because I believed at the time, last year, that NYR was a cure. It was a snap and then everything was fine. But that's not how it works. And I went back to the same sin I was in. And it did not end well. And I was not feeling good. But after this year, it clicked to me. And after seeing my friends become baptized, my youth leader, Tony, came up to me. And he showed me my steak. And he was like, hey, buddy, I still got your steak if you want it. And I was like, well, I didn't say anything. But I thought about it that night. And I decided that I didn't want to wait anymore. Because that's what it's about. You can say you're with God, but you have to be devoted to him and you have to do it. And one thing that I was hung up on was waiting for being baptized. And another person that I think was very important to me in this area of learning was Cade. He told me to not wait, to just do it. Because I believe in God, and if you want to be with him, don't wait. If you believe in God, don't wait. Be with him as much as you can be, and I am happy to say that this year I got baptized, as well as Hannah, Abby, and Buddy over there, I see you. But I learned this year that, especially now, that you have to carry that work ethic of God. Read the Word every day. Be with him every day. Pray every day. Because that's not what I did last year because I thought it was a cure, and it's not. Nobody is perfect. We all sin. Everyone sins. But if you confess your sin, if you really want forgiveness, then he will give it to you. Because the Lord sacrificed himself for your sins. Thank you. I would like to introduce Katie Bowen, or state champ.
Good morning, everyone. This is my first year going to NYR, and I would like to thank the church for supporting everything and allowing the youth group to go to NYR. I also want to thank all the youth leaders for giving the youth group the opportunity to go to NYR. Now, I'm going to start with a couple of verses, Matthew 11:28-29 and Isaiah 40:28-31. Matthew 11:28-29 reads, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And Isaiah 40:28-31 reads, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." Whew. "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Going to NYR allowed me to grow closer to the Lord. It was a time where I found rest in God from all the crazinesses of life, and my strength was renewed. NYR was an opportunity where God worked in me and refreshed and strengthened my faith and spirit. NYR was a time of rejuvenating my faith, and it truly did. I came back feeling well-rested, stronger, more confident, restored, and refreshed. NYR was an amazing opportunity to rejuvenate my faith and which strengthened me for whatever battles lie ahead in my life. That's what NYR did for me. My favorite part of NYR was the worship. There were songs that were awakening and refreshing, and songs that were fun to dance and jump to. I loved the music at NYR so much. Music at NYR is a whole different level of worship, and it's just so amazing. Lastly, my favorite message was spoken in one of our classes. It was in James 3. It was about taming of the tongue. I like how the speaker used Mean Girls as a comparison. I thought that was pretty cool, but that's not the big thing I wanted to take away from the message. The main points that I like to take away from the message is you need to ask for forgiveness for all the bad things your tongue has spoke. Think before you speak, and as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to hold each other accountable for what we say. That message stuck with me, and I think it's an important thing to remember. Overall, NYR was an amazing experience, and I would love to go back, and I loved it so much. Thank you. Next up is Ava.
All right, a couple of things. I didn't think I was going to be speaking until like 15 minutes ago. So I have nothing prepared whatsoever, just a message that I think I need to share. I guess it was Monday. The element was fire. And the speaker, don't remember his name, he talked about Moses and in the wilderness and the fiery bush. And there are many different types of wilderness. And like, so, sorry, I'm kind of nervous here. So Luke 15, verse, and this is the first part of that, talks about the different parables, parable of the lost sheep, lost coin, and the lost son. So in the lost sheep, the sheep just was with his shepherd, was with the other flock, and it wandered away. It was lost in the wilderness. It didn't do it intentionally. It was just a slow walk away. Sometimes people do that. It's not a all of a sudden breakaway. It's a slow trickle, I guess. And then the lost coin didn't know it was lost. The lost coin was just gone. And some people don't even know they're lost until they realize they've been found. And then the parable of the lost son. That one is fairly well known, I'd say. The son asks for half of his father's wealth and runs off with it. But he realizes he made a big mistake. He shouldn't have done it. He comes back, and his father rejoices. And it's the same with every single one of those stories. They all rejoice. The shepherd who lost his lamb rejoiced. The woman who lost her coin rejoiced. And the man who lost his son rejoiced. And that's all I have. I felt compelled to share. Thank you.
First off, Silas, I'm past being hurt by words, so it's okay. It's okay. I'm the last speaker. I do that on purpose so I don't, you know, talk forever. I have a tendency to talk or I like to hear myself talk, you know. First off, thank yous. We couldn't do this without the church. Pastor Ron, the elders, thank you so much for allowing us to, you know, go and do this crazy thing, this crazy trip, 14 hours away in the middle of Colorado in the wilderness. Thank you all for your prayers, the funding, fully funded by the church. Absolutely amazing. Give yourself a hand for that. And I have some other thank yous. I did grow up as a Boy Scout, but I didn't get past, learning how to tie a square knot, that kind of thing. But some thank yous. Michael and Crystal Wolf, thank you so much. They do a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. They organize the camping gear. They cook. They get the food. On top of that, they're drivers. And Michael, he does an excellent job of preparing and setting up the campground. It's very challenging to do that in those kind of conditions. Also, I want to say thank you to Jennifer. She did an awesome job driving and being there and supporting the kids. She's also our camp nurse, so that's very handy, especially when people hurt themselves. repeatedly. Okay, so yeah, that's great. And also my wife, Erin, she's in the back. Thank you for putting up with me. You know, I really appreciate that a lot. Now, yeah, she does need that hand. But in all honesty, you know, I am a teacher. I do have this time off. And they sacrifice vacation time to do this. You know, they don't live the life of a teacher where you get your summers off. So I really do appreciate that, the time, the sacrifice that you all make for this trip. The youth really appreciate it. And it's just awesome working with that team. We meld together very well. When there's a need, when there's something that needs to happen, we all step up to the plate and we just get it done. And our goal is to glorify Jesus and to point these kids to Jesus Christ. That is our primary goal. There's no competition. There's no look at me. It's all about Jesus. So I'm very thankful for that. So just a few things about the trip, the worship. Well, the worship was phenomenal. The Josh Howerton band, well, they're not the Josh Howerton band, but Josh Howerton, Caleb, they were awesome. They actually came to our campsite this year, and they had supper with us. So that was awesome. Really appreciated that. I really want, and when we have worship next Sunday, I want people, you know, climbing on people's shoulders and stuff. No, I'm just joking. No, but the kids really get into it, and it's just awesome seeing them. Just they don't care who's around them, who's watching them. They just worship. It's something. I mean, I love that. Also, the messages, the teaching, three times a day. The kids get in the Word. They get lessons three times a day without their cell phone, without service. Think about that for a second. So guess what? They had to, like, actually kind of pay attention. So that's really cool. I really appreciate the adult teachings that we get. There's leadership classes. We've gone, 3 years now that we've gone? Or was it four? I can't remember. And it's awesome. Jim Dalrymple, I'm going to give him a shout out. He actually came and had supper with us too, him and his family. He led that. Really phenomenal teacher, man of God. The day trips, they were amazing. As usual, Platte River, you know, cold as ever, with a little history lesson from me, yeah, of course. We also went to Castlewood Canyon State Park. That was a new location, and hopefully your kids that went, they didn't tell you about the thunderstorms or anything. Anyway, the shopping was fun, too. We did kind of purchase some, you know, card game or something. I don't know, something we played that week. I don't know what that was. But above all that, the fellowship. You know, I'm just echoing what leaders have said and what other youths have said, but you really get to learn these kids and the adults too. And the kids get to see you at your worst, okay, and at your best too. So they get to see you first thing in the morning. You're crawling out of a cot in a sleeping bag. Guess what? They get to see you with some wild hair, you know, like Mike. Michael had some wild hair, you know, no. But it's good for them to see that side of you. And it's good for us as leaders to see that side of the kids when they're tired and grumpy and, you know, upset or whatever, or even excited. You know, sometimes we don't get to see that level of excitement all the time in that room. So I really appreciate the fellowship. You know, like I said, we did play a lot of games, Risk, Uno, another card game. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun, just spending time with them. And then the four youth, you've heard this, the four youth that got baptized, Abby, Hannah, Luke, and Trevor. I just want to be clear. I am just a servant of God. You know, any one of us leaders could have baptized them. Anybody in the youth group could have baptized them. But it was a privilege, and it was an honor to do that. That pond is kind of gross. I don't know if you kind of caught that. But it was a privilege. Give them a hand again, the four that were baptized. Yeah, Luke and Trevor are kind of tall too, so that was challenging. I baptized Luke, and then I learned my lesson. I actually took Trevor out a little deeper in the water. So anyway, I'm gonna share just one more thing. This is a snippet from the adult leadership class that we were a part of with Jim Dalrymple from Ozark Christian College. I would love to have him here someday. We'll see. He spoke on the book of James the entire week, and he did it through the lens of leadership and church leadership. And I really appreciated that. Like Jim was saying, he never really approached the book of James from that lens or that point of view. And it really challenged me. It really challenged me personally. And it was there were some lessons I need to hear. There were some verses I needed to go through and process and just receive from God. We received as leaders. This is about the leaders just as much as it is for the kids. I received big time. This was a huge refreshing for me. This was a huge come to the well. Come, be with the Lord. Get away with the Lord moment for me. And I look forward to that every single year, to get away from the distractions, to get away from the busyness and craziness of the world. So I really appreciate the church letting us go, not just the kids. So I'm going to focus on day four. Jennifer did a phenomenal job summarizing all four lessons. But again, this was through the lens of leadership. So the first thing he shared, and I'll read James 5, 7 through 8 here in a moment. But this was concerning serving. This is concern basically focused on don't be weary in what you're doing in the church. Don't be weary as a servant of God. And sometimes you're not always going to see what God is asking you to do. You're not always going to see that fruit, and that's okay. So James 5, 7 through 8 reads, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord." That's really important too. "See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient. Stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." So serving in ministry is very, very difficult, okay? I've been serving in this church for 15 plus years. I love it. I want to keep doing this for as long as, as I'm able to do it, or I'm called to do something else. And we have got to have endurance. You have got to have endurance in this race, just like Jennifer alluded to earlier. And you've got to trust God no matter what. No matter what is happening around you. We could have gone and had zero kids baptized. But that doesn't matter. You've got to trust God. You've got to endure. You've got to do what God has called you to do today. And what God wants you, He wants you to serve. And He wants you to serve others. And He wants you to serve in this church. We have VBS coming up soon. And, that's an opportunity for our church to pour in and serve this community. Okay? I'm very passionate about VBS, by the way. Also, growth, it isn't always visible. Sometimes it's not noticeable. Sometimes you're never going to see what the Lord is asking you to do in service. And like the farmer, who, it's kind of a mystery how, basically you just plant the thing and just let it go. Sometimes you just serve and watch it go. Watch what God's going to do. And regardless of how we feel, or even if we don't see the results, we've got to serve. We've got to keep our hands to the plow. You've got to keep forward. You got to keep your eyes forward and never look back. And sometimes that growth, it'll come at the least expected times too. So be faithful in that. The last little snippet from that day four about endurance: strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Okay, you probably didn't expect us to be talking about the second coming today, but it's true. The Lord is coming back. He's coming, and we got to be ready. I'm going to read James 5, 8 through 11. "You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job." Jennifer talked about that. "And you have seen the purpose of the Lord. Now the Lord is compassionate and merciful." The coming of the Lord is at hand. These NYR experiences are going to, we're not going to have these in the future, possibly. You know, these opportunities are short. VBS, those opportunities are short. And it's coming up soon in this church. We have got to keep serving. We have got to stay diligent and serve God while it's called today, while we can serve. Because our time is running short. We don't know when God's coming back. Do not let up. Do not give up in your service. If you feel like what you do in the church is minimal, that's not how God views it. Whatever you're doing in the church, whatever you're doing to serve others, you could be working in the nursery. That is so important to God. Michael brought that up. You could be in the children's church. You could be locking the doors or whatever. It is so valuable to God. And God needs servants. Serve him while it's called today. Verses 10 and 11 here. I'm almost done, I promise. There will be suffering in your service. There is going to be suffering. There's going to be a sacrifice. You know, NYR is a sacrifice to me. Because, you know, like Jennifer, I don't like camping. But, you know, it's all worth it. It is all worth it for this youth group. It is all worth it for this church. It's all worth it for Jesus Christ to serve him. Remain steadfast in your faith and your service to God. Remember Job. Remember his suffering and how God brought him through. You might be suffering right now. You might be going through a lot of pain, a lot of trials that we alluded to. But remember how God brought Job through. I just want to say thank you once again to the leadership, to this church body. We are the body of Christ. And what you saw today, what you witnessed today, you're reaping those benefits too, whether you feel like it or know it or not. So thank you.
All right, let's stand together. Y'all enjoying your youth trip? You know, if you think about it, we're God's big old youth group. His church is here, and we're all just kind of camping out in this world. 30, 80 years, whatever it is a vapor. You're camping in your body. You live in these huts that we call houses. We're all kind of just passing through, and we haven't really come to real life yet. You know, you talk about returning to real life. I mean, eternity's ahead. The coming of the Lord draws nigh, and what a great encouragement today. I mean, you're thanking us, but we're just doing ourselves a favor. So we're all being selfish. Anybody that gave and prayed, we're just doing ourselves a favor to invest in good soil. Praise God. If you have not yet come to the Lord yet, though, and you're hearing about this life they're speaking of, that the life of God, salvation is available for all. And as we heard, I think Trevor, don't wait. Today is the day to give your life to Jesus. And if you've not prayed yet and surrendered, the Lord's arms are open to you. Jesus Christ already paid the price. And if you come to Jesus, you believe in Jesus Christ, his work and his death and resurrection, that's how a person is made right with God. And so if you've not prayed and believed on Jesus, come see me after the service. I would be glad to pray with you and be a part of that wonderful gift of salvation. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. Praise you for your goodness. How great is your goodness that you've stored up for those who fear you and love you, and you've bestowed upon us some of that grace today. And Lord, help us, God, as all of us, to continue to endure, to run the race. Thank you for the reminder that as these precious ones that shared and had that week, Lord, that infuses us today, that strengthens our faith. Faith comes by hearing by the word, and you've given us your word today. So let us all continue in this pilgrimage, this time we're camping, your youth group here until we all enter into glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Blessings upon you.